Prince was deep in a way that he wasn't acknowledged for. As I think you're getting the sense, we're going to correct that here. Little bit by little bit. Lessons from Proudhon. Our Pierre Joseph Proudhon readings. Continuing chapter 5. My comment before we get started. Our Mother Earth is come not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. We're going to be arguing later in the show and throughout the show. She has come to fulfill it, the just society, in fulfilling us. And while I'm on this topic, before I forget, again, to mention it, and I must, because the trees give me so much. And I'm talking about the ones at Lake Merritt, where I have my walk every morning. They seem to be under the gun too, like we humans claiming our freedom. Every week I seem to find another one's been destroyed. And these are mature trees, unique. If there's someone who cares out there, who can stop it, please go take a look. Naively, I'd assume that mature trees, the ones that belong to us, the public, were protected. I've always been a bit Pollyannish. You know, it's still real hard for me to wrap my mind around intentionally causing ill health. And I just cannot wrap my mind around killing Prince. It'll be a while before I stop shaking my head at that. Our Mother Earth is come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. And we'll be arguing that we all at times have to be reminded to defer to the bias of truth, to let its weight bend us, to submit to the water it washes over us. And this is what the trees do, by the way. Walking with them washes us clean. And even Proudhon needs to be reminded at times. The insidiousness of class is that it invades our bodies, becomes integrated into our personalities, because we have few models of any other way to be. And those models are threatened today as never before in the history of class, threatened with assault and invasion. Proudhon helps us see the danger of allowing, as Shakespeare warned before he, of allowing a tiny few to be our keepers, an attempt to decide for us what is society. And never has the danger been greater. We, and only we, using as our constant guide, with Proudhon, the earth's voice speaking through our bodies, our conscious and exuberant possession of conscience. Only we, all of us together, globally, can create a just society. Proudhon names it true. It is equality living unbent among us. It is all of us helping each other. It is allowing the children to be big. It is being big ourselves. It is refusing to allow fear to be sown or grown in the children or in ourselves, which requires that we see and understand the whole. It requires that there never be, that we never allow, once we are free, any chains on or walls concealing the truth. Continuing with Proudhon, that which in this instance obscures our duty is our, and I'm wondering, imagined power of foresight, which, causing us to fear an eventual danger, impels us to usurpation and makes us robbers and murderers. Animals do not calculate the duty of instinct any more than the disadvantages resulting to those who exercise it. It would be strange if the intellect of man, of man, the most sociable of animals, should lead him to disobey the law. He betrays society who attempts to use it only for his own advantage. Better that God should deprive us of prudence if it's to serve as the tool of our selfishness. What, you will say, must I share my bread? The bread which I have earned and which belongs to me, with a stranger whom I do not know, whom I may never see again, and who, perhaps, will regard me with ingratitude? If we had earned this bread together, if this man had done something to obtain it, he might demand his share, since his cooperation would entitle him to it. But as it is, what claim has he on me? We've not produced together. We shall not eat together. And that's the argument he's presenting to us for discussion. The fallacy in this argument, he says, lies in the false supposition that each producer is not necessarily associated with every other producer. When two or more individuals have regularly organized a society, when the contracts have been agreed upon, drafted, and signed, then there's no difficulty about the future. Everybody knows that when two men associate, for instance, in order to fish, if one of them catches no fish, he's nonetheless entitled to those caught by his associate. If two merchants form a partnership, while the partnership lasts, the profits and losses are divided between them, since each produces not for himself, but for the society. When the time of distribution arrives, it's not the producer who is considered, but the associate. That's why the slave, to whom the planter gives straw and rice, and the civilized laborer, to whom, and we'll be talking about that word civilized, quote unquote, to whom the capitalist pays a salary which is always too small, not being associated with their employers, although producing with them, are disregarded when the product is divided. And that's an important point I'm commenting. Who is admitted into our society? Who are our associates? As when our society is global, there can only be abundance. Continuing, thus, the horse who draws our coaches and the ox who draws our carts produce with us, but are not associated with us. We take their product, but do not share it with them. And I comment, can we see why power doesn't want us learning from the earth? The earth, that which is authentic, provides powerful, because uninfluenced by any con, lessons. And under its influence, thought develops. I.e., that our requests, our protests are little heard and less listened to. That our requests, our protests are little heard and less listened to is more than adequate demonstration that we will ever be cattle to those who play at being and pose as deities. Continuing. The animals and laborers whom we employ hold the same relation to us. Whatever we do for them, we do not from a sense of justice, but out of pure benevolence. And he has a note on this word benevolence at the bottom. He says, to perform an act of benevolence towards one's neighbor is called in Hebrew to do justice. In Greek, to take compassion or pity, from which is derived the French aumône. In Latin, it means to perform an act of love or charity. In French, to give alms. We can trace the degradation of this principle through these various expressions. The first signifies duty. The second, only sympathy. The third, affection, a matter of choice, not an obligation. The fourth, caprice. That this is power's attitude toward us, I comment on his comment. That we are its wards, beasts of burden, brute force, with which it tinkers at its whim, cannot be disputed. Continuing with Proudhon, but is it possible that we are not all associated. Let's call to mind what was said in the last two chapters, 3 and 4, that even though we don't want to be associated, the force of things, the necessity of consumption, the laws of production, and the mathematical principle of exchange combine to associate us. And I have to comment that this was written, or by rights should be, on power's behalf. He too, like Socrates, is hoping to break through their miasma of sleep. But now I add, and I wrote that on this on the day after the killing of Prince, April 22nd, 2016, that we the people must not forget this. We are all associates, which puts all of us in the crosshairs. Let's stand up and face the challenge. And then I had to add something else, writing 1 month after they killed him, i.e. today, or close to it. I still, a month later, haven't read or heard tell of the official story they've decided on for cause of death. If there's been an autopsy report released, I've missed it. I'd really appreciate someone letting me know. It's very hard for me to spend time online. I have not read or heard tell of the official story they've decided on for cause of death. It'll be a while till the truth is documented that it was assault by EMF. Was there muscle contraction? Had he complained of electrical paralysis, stiffening of the muscles, numbness, swollenness, difficulty moving, particularly after having been asleep? Was there a lot of mucus in his body? 30 years of this torture he endured, and without being able to fight back, because these guys who believe they are gods hide. They assault and kill in secret. And again, the head of the Department of the Navy must be made to answer to the people under oath as to the specific EMF weapons they possess to be used against individuals. What specifically exists and who is getting targeted with them?